Good morning. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
All right. It's good to be here. Like Michael said, even though it's a few of us, that doesn't matter. God's still here. So the themes for our messages in January have been around the concept of prayer. And when Rob asked me to speak, I just prayed about what God wanted me to talk about. Over the days that followed, I felt drawn towards the passage in the Gospels where it talks about the temptation of Jesus and around how to deal with spiritual attacks from the enemy and ways to fight against that. We've also had a bit of a focus on the Lord's Prayer during January as well. And this morning I want us to think about the line in the Lord's Prayer where we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So we're going to open up the Bible and we're going to read from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Hopefully we can get it up on the screen for you. This is the passage titled, "Jesus is Tested in the Wilderness." "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him." Upon first reading of this passage, it's important when studying scripture to put things in context of the time and place. So this story is recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, like we just read. It's also mentioned in Mark in chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, and in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And it's mentioned immediately after the baptism of Jesus and before the beginning of Jesus' ministry on the earth. The passage says Jesus is led out into the wilderness. What is the wilderness? So if you Google the meaning of the word wilderness, like I did, it is a rough, uninhabited and neglected region, an unsettled or uncultivated tract of land left in its natural state, a wooded area with no civilized life on the borders of a town, a deserted place, probably overgrown with trees, bushes, no clear paths to walk on, wild animals living there. What might the wilderness look like to us today? Well, if you go on a walk up in Mount Macedon, it's pretty wilderness-like, some of it. In this passage in verse 1, it says that Jesus was led out to be tempted by the devil. The Greek word for tempted can also mean tested. And I think we can interpret this to mean that God allowed it to happen. God gave the devil permission to test Jesus. But why did God allow this? Well, in Jesus' case, I believe it was to spiritually prepare him for his future ministry and the miracles that he was going to perform, to fast, pray, spend time with his Father, grow in intimacy with God by being alone with him, strengthen his relationship with God, and to give us as followers of Jesus an example to learn from by what happened. So the temptation or the testing of Jesus happens right after his baptism. I think that's really important for us to know, because We all probably know from when Jesus got baptized, the Spirit of God fell on Jesus afterwards, and like a dove, and you know, God's voice comes down and says, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." Now, think about what Jesus might be feeling at this point. He might be feeling pretty, you know, that he's done a good thing and his Father's proud of him, and I can imagine he's probably on a bit of a spiritual high, you know, where all's feeling well and at peace, just cruising along. I remember when I was a lot younger, my mum, who's a deeply faithful Christian lady who I respect and adore, she was telling me, you know, in my early Christian years, that we've really got to pray for people when they get baptized, because afterwards, Satan's going to come and make them question what they've done. They've taken a stand for Jesus, and, you know, the devil doesn't want that. Anyone who wants to stand up for Jesus, he doesn't want to be a part of that. He wants to bring him down. He wants them to question it. Because it's a prime opportunity for the devil to come and tempt them. That's really left a big mark on my journey as a Christian, and the responsibility that we have as believers to be lifting up our fellow Christians in prayer as a form of spiritual protection against what the enemy tries to throw at us or what he tries to do. So just like Jesus, we need to be aware that when we, you know, have those mountaintop spiritual experiences, that as amazing and how powerful that is, the valley's coming, you know, and we've got to be prepared for that. Tempting or testing can come in many different ways and forms. For Jesus, in verse 2 in the passage, it says he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. His body was weak. He was probably thirsty as well. The passage doesn't really tell us exactly what he was fasting from, but I imagine in the wilderness there's probably not much to eat and probably wild animals living there, potentially a dangerous place to be, and maybe Jesus even would have been at risk of becoming food to predators around him. Have you ever had the experience of being hungry? Like really hungry? Have you ever done the 40-hour famine? If you've done the 40-hour famine, you know what I mean when I'm talking about being hungry. It's, you know, when you're really, really hungry, you know, your mind can't think properly, it plays tricks on you, your thoughts can be quite muddled, you're lacking energy, you're tired, you struggle to function normally, and all you can think about is probably, you know, how hungry you are and when your next meal might be. Your body's physically weak, you're feeling the physical effects of going without food. You know, you can become quite headachy. You know, your body is under stress, got the risk of becoming unwell, you're lacking energy. When you compare that to when we're physically strong and full of energy, we're much more able to fight off anything that may potentially threaten us, but much less so if we're in a state of weakness. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Satan is looking everywhere for anyone who is in a weak position to be tempted and taking every opportunity to make someone fall. He's scheming against us. Scripture also tells us in Ephesians 6 that we're not really fighting what we physically see or experience. Ephesians 6, 12 to 13 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." I don't know whether you experienced any of that. In worldly terms, it might be, you know, you've got a problem at work with a co-worker. You're arguing with your husband or your wife or your children. You're having disagreements with friends. There's something behind all that. Evil is out there, and it can creep up on us at any moment. In this passage, it doesn't really say exactly how the devil came to Jesus. I mean, was Satan just a presence? Was he a voice in Jesus' mind? Was he an audible voice, or did he disguise himself in bodily form? Doesn't really tell us. I don't think it really matters how or what. The thing that matters is Jesus recognized who he was. He knew he was coming, and he knew what to do about it. He was prepared. And just like Jesus, we need to be prepared. Jesus demonstrates to us in this passage that the perfect example of everything that we need to fight off the enemy's attempts to thwart us and bring us down, and how to stand victorious. Do you know how to overcome temptation? Do you know how to be delivered from evil in your life? This passage gives rise to four things that I believe can help us overcome temptation and fight against the devil's schemes in our lives. The first one is this: be aware of your weaknesses. The devil gets you when you're down. Jesus was being tempted with food when he was hungry. So think about it. What is your weakness? Is it hunger? Is it tiredness? Stress? Fear, worry, anxiety, the list could go on. When do you think you may be at risk of an attack from the enemy? Where are you? Who are you with when your defenses may be down? When are you most tempted to do the wrong thing? In order to overcome temptation, we need to be aware of our weaknesses and know when we're at risk of succumbing to the devil's schemes. Because if we know what our weaknesses are, then we can put the tools to use that God's given us to fight against him. The second thing is this: know the word of God. In this passage, Jesus fought back at everything Satan threw at him by quoting scriptural truths and standing firm in them. In verse 3, it says, Satan tempts Jesus to make the stones become bread. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God," which is also quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. In verse 5 to 8, devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple and tells him to prove that he's the Son of God by throwing himself down so the angels can lift him up and not get hurt. But Jesus' response is this, verse 7, "It's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test," which is from Deuteronomy 6:16. We've got to know the word of God, the Bible, so we can fight back and use it as our weapon. Ephesians 6:10-18 talks about us being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, putting on the full armor of God so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. One of those weapons is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you want to know how to fight, use your weapons. The shield of faith extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the sword is used to kill and put our enemy to death. Do you know Bible passages that can be used to strengthen your faith and ward off evil or the devil? Do you know what Bible passages to read through to crush the enemy's lies against you? Do you know who you are in Christ and what it means to be a son or daughter of the King? What are your spiritual blessings and inheritance? Do you understand and use the full power that we have by the Holy Spirit to resist the devil and make him flee? James 4:7 says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." In other versions, it says, "Submit yourselves to the authority of God, surrender to God, or humble yourselves before God, stand up against the devil, resist the devil, and he will flee," or he will run away from you. The next point is three, we've got to be a warrior in prayer. In Ephesians 6:18-20, after putting on our spiritual armor and using our spiritual weapons, it says we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So I'm going to ask you this morning, how's your prayer life going? Do you pray and put on the armor of God daily? When did you last pray for someone in Jesus' name? Do you recognize when the devil's tempting you or testing you? Do you pray continuously into that space? I don't know if any one of you have seen the movie War Room. I'm smiling at Lorraine here because a couple of years ago when we had a women's Bible study group, we actually sat down and watched this movie together because we were studying about the power of prayer, and this movie really encapsulates how powerful prayer is. And if you haven't seen the movie, I really encourage you to go and see it. Anyway, one of the main actors in this movie, her name's Priscilla Shire. Apart from acting, she's an author and a gifted speaker. And she was inspired by this movie to write a book called Fervent. Hopefully we can get the picture of the title of the book. A Fervent, a woman's battle plan for serious, specific and strategic prayer. And I kind of laugh when it says a woman's because anybody can really read it. But I quote from her book, "The enemy's schemes start failing when we start praying. The enemy's schemes start failing when we start praying. Prayer is the portal that brings the power of heaven down to earth. It's kryptonite to the enemy and to all his ploys against you." This is hopefully a scene that we're going to show from that movie, and it really demonstrates what I'm talking about.
Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Submit to God. Resist the devil. You are, devil, but I know you can hear me. You have played with my mind and had your way long enough. No more. You are done. Jesus is the Lord of this house. And that means there's no place for you here anymore. So take your lies, your schemes, and your accusations and get out in Jesus' name. My man. This house is under new management, and that means you are out. And another thing, I am so sick of you stealing my joy, but that's changing too. My joy doesn't come from my friends, it doesn't come from my job, it doesn't even come from my husband. My joy is found in Jesus. And just in case you forgot, he has already defeated you. So go back to hell where you belong and leave my family alone.
Isn't that inspiring? I feel like this scene really illustrates the power of speaking out our prayers and using our voices out loud.
My question to you is this.
Oh, sorry. We're not showing anymore. I know that we can have prayers in our minds and, in our thoughts, and, sometimes we can write them down. Some of us have prayer journals. I'm not sure what your prayer habits are. But I want to give you a challenge this week. I want to challenge you to speak out your prayers out loud, okay? Because there's amazing power in that, just like, that scene really depicted. So we have an opportunity with our 6:30 a.m. prayer meetings on a Tuesday morning. I know we're typing in our prayers, but you can speak them out as well as we're praying. If that time doesn't suit you, well, you can always start your own. Get together with a few people that you know, you want to grow in prayer with, and meet regularly and do that, whether you do that in person or whether you do it on Zoom. We need to be praying, because I believe prayer is powerful and it breaks strongholds. And we need to be united in prayer regularly to see answers to our prayers and to defeat the enemy's attempts to destroy us and discourage us. Fourth point I want to make is that we need to use worship as our weapon. In the Matthew passage in verses 8 to 10, Satan takes Jesus to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and he promises Jesus will be given all of it if he bows down and worships him. What's Jesus' response? Away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Also from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. I really love that a lot of the songs that we sing here each Sunday, they're rich in Bible truths, and they're used to throw the enemy off course just by singing them out loud. We're literally singing the Bible and telling the devil what the truth is, okay? We're not believing the lies he tells us. We're smashing them to threads when he attempts to bring us down. We sing out what the Bible says is true. Many of you will know the story of Paul and Silas in Acts 16, where they're praying and worshiping in jail, and they're demonstrating the power of worship by breaking actual physical chains. So in the passage it says, even though they've been put into jail, they're probably wondering what they should do and questioning why God's put them there, but you know what? They didn't pity themselves. They were active. They prayed and they worshipped. And while they were praying and worshipping, at midnight it says, there was an earthquake. And the foundations of the prison were shaken, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains became loose. Talk about a powerful worship session. Our worship opens up the heavens, pushes out the darkness, and it breaks strongholds by speaking out the name of Jesus, just like we've sung this morning. We have to never underestimate the power that our worship can have on ourselves and our circumstances. And that's not just within our own lives. It's within our church, our family, the whole world. Our worship can affect everything around us. The enemy wants nothing but to put fear in us, to make us worried, focus on our own problems, to be discouraged. But as we enter worship and his presence, we're constantly reminded that our trust is totally in Jesus and in him alone, just like Julie pointed to in her communion talk. Our victory lies in Jesus fighting for us. What we need to do is be faithful, stand in God's truth and his promises for us, and God does the rest. just going to finish by playing a song on the screen. It's a song called My Weapon by Natalie Grant. And this song really captures the essence about what we've been talking about this morning. So I really encourage you to listen and take in the words. But alongside knowing what our weaknesses are, knowing God's word, being a prayer warrior, and using worship as a weapon, I believe that we can be victorious in overcoming temptation. So I'm just going to play this clip, and then we're just going to finish with a final song.
Silenced and all depression cease. Let every dark assignment bow down at Jesus' feet. Let every curse be broken. Let every storm be tamed. And all that come against us be bound in Jesus' name. Your presence is my greatest weapon. Pushing back the darkness, breaking every chain. My worship opens up the heavens, crushing every stronghold when I speak your name. 'Cause your presence is my weapon. Your presence is my weapon. Your strength will not be shaken. Your love will not back down. Death has been defeated.